Good morning, Alex. Am I on? Oh, yes, I am on. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St. John's. I know it's a long time since you've seen me, but it's not that I've left the church. I'm just busy doing lay ministry all over Eastern Ontario. Today's call to worship comes from the experience of worship in the Presbyterian churches of Malawi. While not unique to them, it is common for Presbyterians worldwide to shout out. So one of the things I'm going to ask you at the end of the call to worship, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands and yell gleefully, "Whoa!" or "Hallelujah!" I would like to thank each one of you for coming here in person, or even those who are online or wherever they may be. We are all God's children, and we have come to worship the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us on this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. We are here, whether in person or in line, to worship God. We give thanks to God for the earth and its diversity. Our fields have produced food that we will need this coming winter. And based on the temperature that it was this morning when I was walking my dog, I can see that winter is coming, so we have to think about putting the bikes away. As we come to worship, can we go to the call to worship? And you can please stand, if you can, for this. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
And that is God's nature. Woo-hoo! Thank you very much. Please be seated. That's a bit different because Presbyterians normally don't yell woohoo in church, but I guess we have to try new things. As we come to the prayer of adoration, let us please bow our heads. God of all nations, your glory is incomprehensible, your majesty infinite. Your love is wider than all the universe. All the earth sings of your praises, and we join our voices in praise and adoration of you as one God, the creating God, living Son, and the Holy Spirit. So teach us a new song. Remind us of your salvation, so that we might praise your name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 491, God Bless Your Church with Strength.
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads as we come to the prayer of confession. Merciful God, as we recall who you are, we know that we sin and fall short of your glory. There are things that we should say that we don't, and other things that we say but shouldn't. There are things that we should do but don't, and things we do but shouldn't. At times we forget about your presence in our lives, living as if you were not the God who saves. Yet, when we look to you, we see your steadfast love and know that in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, we are forgiven. Amen. It's difficult to handle all of these books and papers. Friends in Christ, it is true that we have squandered God's good gifts. It is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God, through his love in Jesus Christ. So trust God's mercy, be at peace with God, be at peace with yourself, and be at peace with one another. Now, I excuse myself because I am ministering at Iroquois, so I have to take off and I turn over to Michel.
Let us join our voices in praise to the Lord, singing We Are One in the Spirit, hymn number 471.
Good morning. It is children's time, and I do notice that our young ones are all busy doing other activities today, and we do know that from a few of them, and I would pray that right now they're being looked after and they're well, and in the meantime, we're going to, we're all kids at heart, right? So we're going to proceed with the children's time with our adult kids. Did you know that there's people just like you in the world who don't have water. And we know that because we've had people come and talk to us about this, people who've experienced that firsthand. Sometimes they have to walk for hours. And that sounds pretty hard to me, because I know that if I wanted to fill up this pitcher right here, that I would, what would I do? I'd go to the tap. I sure would. It's so easy for us. But some people don't have that, and they have to walk for hours. And I'm just wondering, if I were speaking to the kids, I would ask them right now, how could I fill this pitcher up? Yep. And is there anyone who could help me in the congregation today? Go figure. We have water. Anyone else?
How's that?
Oh, amazing. Look at that. Oh, it's coming. Some people helped me. I didn't have any water, and I was helped with water. It's so awesome. So it is awesome. So we've got our pitcher filled, kids. So we're done. We've now got water. You don't have water. Would you like some water? You thirsty?
Let's take care of that.
I don't know if I can do this. We're coming to you, Lise. So it's so easy. Did you see what happened there? We started with an empty pitcher. Then some people had some water. They shared their water. Somebody needed water. We shared to another source. And that sounds so easy in our midst, but it's a lot harder. But the concept, in essence, is very simple. So in worship today, we are talking about something called Presbyterian sharing. It is a little bit like what just happened. There are people who are in our across Canada in our Presbyterian church, and each week we give money, we put them on funds on the plate, and we hope that those funds will be shared with people who are in need. So that's our children's time, and let us pray. God, we give thanks for what you have given us. Help us to give back to others. We pray for generous hearts so that we can give cheerfully, wise minds so that we can make good decisions, and strong hands so we can do your work in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The prayer for illumination. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and obey your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The responsive reading today is from Psalm 96. Praise to God who comes in judgment. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works amongst all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it.
Let the field exalt and everything in it. And then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy.
Before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. The gospel reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and then chapter 11, 5 to 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to walk in manner worthy of the calling to which they have called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing the one with another love, making ever effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Unite all of us, come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measures of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitfulness schemes, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joint, knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up. Now, this I affirm and insist on it, on in the Lord, we must no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the futile of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance and hardness of this heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to the licentious, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ, for surely you have heard about him. We were taught in him as truth in Christ, to put away your former way of life, your old self corrupted and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirits of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let each of us speak to the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Those who steal must give up stealing, rather than let labor doing work with their own hands, as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of their mouths, but only what is good for building up, as there is need, as your words may give grace to those here. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away all your bitterness and wrath, anger, wrangling, and slander, together with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, giving one another, as God Christ has given you. Therefore, the imitators of God as beloved children.
And let us join our voices together and sing praise with hymn 479, The Church's One Foundation. Good morning. Today we read a passage from Paul's letter to the followers of Jesus at Ephesus. On almost a daily basis, the news makes this passage needed. We live in polarized times, filled with the conspiracy theories and lacking in human decency. Blame social media, blame certain politicians, blame ideological trends, or whatever you want, but unity, truth, and charity seem in short supply right now. Ephesians points us in the opposite direction. We live in conflict. The passage emphasizes unity. Against conspiracy theories stand truth. Incivility gets countered with grace. These times pose a challenge to Christians, like the first line of the passage, which tells us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. These times challenge us to be unified, truthful, and charitable when so much pushes us in the opposite direction. Well, that's all well and nice, you might say, but what does this have to do with Presbyterians sharing? Everything. For starters, the passage emphasizes the message of unity. We are to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Then come the strings of ones. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. For those counting, that's seven ones in a single sentence. All this oneness moves us until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Unity leads to the full stature of Christ. Amidst all of this unity, we hear that the church contains the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Clearly, unity does not mean uniformity then, or sameness. Apostles serve different roles than prophets who do different things than evangelists, and so on. Instead, it means that God gives a diversity of gifts to equip the church for its witness in the world. Do we lack a gift? The implication is that church does not have to have the ability to reach the full stature of Christ. We need a unity in diversity to do all that God calls us to do. In a polarized world like the one we live in, we often mistake uniformity for unity. One group, which is all the same, goes against another group, which is all the same. We build the base of our people, which is all the same, intentionally excluding others so that we can have a unified front. Conservatives over here, progressives over there, settlers over here, indigenous people over there, English people over here, French over there, developed world, developing world over there. Just because everyone is the same in our group does not mean that we have unity. Quite the opposite. We need each other. One congregation is not big enough to hold the diversity that God has given to the world. We might all look or sound similar. We may feel united, but in reality, we lack gifts required to attain the full stature of Christ. Our uniformity, our sameness, is not enough. Even our denomination that stretches across this country is not big enough. Yes, we have many languages, many different theological views, many different worship styles, and many different priorities for mission. We do have diversity, but it is nothing compared to what we see in the global church. So Presbyterians sharing, our denomination's budget gathers our diverse gifts together and unifies us. Together, we work towards reconciliation with and justice for Indigenous peoples. Together, we connect young people at Canada Youth events. Together, we partner with churches in Africa, Asia, Europe, and South America in ways that help them and us flourish. No single congregation, no matter how active or big, can do these things. Presbyterians sharing unifies us in diversity so that our witness to the world is faithful to the calling God has placed on us. The letter to the Ephesians is also quite clear that unity in diversity requires knowledge. Knowledge guides love. We get warned that we must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. We are not to live in the futility of our minds, but instead live lives worthy of the calling through having our minds renewed. Education and knowledge have been a particularly large gift of Presbyterians sharing worldwide. Through Presbyterians sharing, we not only support our theological colleges here in Canada, through the Presbyterian College in Montreal, Knox College in Toronto, and St. Andrew's Hall in Vancouver, but also schools like the Near East School of Theology in Lebanon and Zomba Theological College in Malawi. Each of these schools trains ministers and other Christian leaders, such as chaplains, but learning isn't only for the ordained. Since the mid-1970s, the Presbyterian Church in Canada has supported Theological Education by Extension Malawi, also known as TEAM. It focuses on equipping lay people and leaders with theological knowledge. On any given Sunday, lay preachers will fill up to two-thirds of the pulpits of our Malawian partner church, the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian. Millions of Presbyterians. There are approximately 35 times more Presbyterians in Malawi than there is in Canada. We'll hear a sermon preached by an elder, so training them is extremely important. TEAM can go where others cannot, such as in prisons. Friends of Prison is a Malawian ministry we support through Presbyterians Sharing. A group of volunteers regularly visits prisoners, bringing spiritual encouragement and practical help. But a visit is not the same as having a spiritual leader present. The Holy Spirit has used the volunteer visitors to change the hearts of prisoners. Despite their conversion, these prisoners don't get out of prison. Friends of Prison faced a dilemma. Prisoners had become Christians, but were unsupported in getting discipled in their faith. Enter TEAM. Volunteers, mostly from nearby Presbyterian churches, received training in offering the courses TEAMs give to elders. Subjects include introductions to the Bible and theology, alongside practical classes like preaching and interfaith ministry. There is even a class on evil and exorcism, as African leaders face this quite regularly. Now, there are trained spiritual leaders in the prison, discipling their people in true and good ways. This pilot project has expanded to 5 prisons and has hired an ex-convict who came to faith through Friends of Prison to help lead it. Knowledge is a slow and therefore expensive business. There are quick ways of gaining knowledge, but these rarely produce the kind of long-lasting discipleship that Ephesians speaks about. You can't go to a workshop and walk out competent to translate the Bible. The truth takes time to hear and to learn. The truth takes humility. How do we react to a class about exorcism? How much does our reaction come from an assumption that we know what is right? Theological education in the 21st century means we must humble ourselves to hear and to consider and to think through the experiences and understandings of a wide range of Christians. Humility means we may be right in need of helping others see in ways that they can hear. Humility also means that we may be wrong and in need of correction. The search for truth is not easy or quick, but make no mistake, the truth matters. Just one example. In many parts of the world, they preach what is called the prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel is a message that preys on the poor, so it is not good news, and it doesn't deserve the name gospel. It mixes just enough truth with deception to be believed. The prosperity message gives false hope, all the while taking what little money the poor have. In many of our partner churches around the world, millions of Christians live and work next to charlatans and hucksters who teach the prosperity message. Ministers, elders, and lay people need to know the truth of the gospel, because to live in the falsehood of the prosperity message has dire consequences for them. Presbyterian sharing supports the needed ministry of seeking and telling the truth. Of course, talking about faith is not quite enough. The third part of the Ephesians passage tells us this quite pointedly. We seek unity through knowledge, but we do so because we are to love God and to love one another. As Paul says in Corinthians, anything without love, including unity and truth, is just a clanging gong. A life worthy of our calling is humble, gentle, and patient. It bears with the other in love. If these qualities seem abstract, we learn that we should not live with hard hearts, but with a sensitivity to the Spirit. We should speak the truth, work honestly, share with the needy, and speak with grace. We should be gentle, tender-hearted, and forgiving. These are very practical things: how we talk to each other, how we go about doing our work, how we live out our faith. Start with knowing God's love for us. Just before this passage, the prayer in Ephesians is that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Knowledge is the love of Christ. It is a gift that comes from one God who we know in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Presbyterian sharing is a very practical form of love. Admittedly, giving money does not seem like a particularly spiritual or loving endeavor, but really, love is not love without some tangible expression. In the early 90s, Gary Chapman published a book called The Five Love Languages. His basic thesis is that each person receives love in a different way. He argues that some of us know we are loved when we receive gifts. Some of us know it when we are hugged, and others when someone spends time with us. Whether he gets all of the details right or wrong, the subtitle of the book is essentially true: How to Express Heartfelt Commitment. It is brilliant in its simplicity. If my significant other or my child or coworker knows they are loved in a certain way, and I genuinely love them, I will express my love in a way that they will know it and understand it. Even though I might not care about receiving gifts, if someone else knows they are loved when they receive gifts and I love them, I should discipline myself to find gifts for them. That way, that I receive love is the default way I give love, so I might need to change to truly love someone else. This is a sacrifice because it is making me change. It is also a sacrifice because it makes the other person more important than myself. In giving to Presbyterians sharing, we create a unity in diversity. We open ourselves up to the truth that alone we are not sufficient. There is an incredible number of different things that happen because of Presbyterians sharing, but they all witness to the one God, one Lord, and one Spirit. There is an incredible number of ways that we can express love tangibly, but it is also true that while we might give sacrificially, we also receive the gifts of others. Presbyterians sharing is not a transactional relationship. This is not charity, because there is no humility in charity. In charity, the giver holds all the power, which makes true unity in diversity impossible. It might appear loving to give without expectation of something in return, but that attitude walls ourselves off from the gifts of others and claims that we are self-sufficient. By giving to Presbyterians sharing, we are not buying something, but we do receive something in return. For instance, since 2000, the Presbyterian Church in Canada has run Canada Youth Events. One of the main parts of those events is worship. A great deal of energy, time, creativity, and prayer and talent go into making worship experiences so profound for the young people gathered there. Consistently, those times rank as a highlight for participants. These are worship times measured in hours, not minutes, with full sermons and all the other elements you might expect or experience in a Presbyterian church on a regular Sunday morning. And young people love it. Presbyterians Sharing has supported worship experiences for thousands of young people over the decades. This has value, and it is a sign of love. But it is not just young people that benefit. There is a kind of trickling up economics at work here. At one point, the leadership of Canada Youth realized that local Presbyterians were sneaking into the services because they wanted to experience that same feeling. The event could not accommodate all of the adults who wanted to join, but did try to provide resources for local congregations to worship in different ways. There is a hunger for this kind of worship. Participants at Canada Youth brought some of that energy, creativity, prayer, and talent back to their sending organizations and congregations. And over the decades the event has run, dozens of ministers and young people have worked together, honing the skills required to lead this kind of worship. Many have gone on to hold various leadership positions, benefiting the Presbyterian Church in Canada. Gifts of money through Presbyterians Sharing transformed into gifts of love for young people. And in turn, those young people gave their own gifts of love back to us. In giving to Presbyterians Sharing, we seek the truth of love of God in Jesus Christ. When we see that truth, God's grace becomes even more powerful. While we were yet sinners, God's grace came to us, setting us free from lies and deception that sin brings. To seek the truth is to seek the love of God. In giving to Presbyterians Sharing, we love others. We live into the admonishment that Ephesians ends today's passage with, words fitting as a charge to all of us. Be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Amen. As we come before God with our tithes and offerings, let us remember the words of Micah 6. What does the Lord require of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Thus, we bring our money and our gifts, our whole lives, as an offering to our God.
Gracious God, we thank you for your gifts that belong not to us alone, but to all our sisters and brothers since they too are created in your image. Let their need become our hunger, and grant to us also a portion of their pain, so that in sharing ourselves, we discover Christ, who walks with all of us. Amen. We will now hear the prayers for the people. God, parent of all, we give you thanks for the many good gifts you give to your church. You are always doing a new thing among us, and we pray for those who face new things, new jobs, new circumstances, new relationships, new family. All good things, but in their newness, they can be frightening. Give us a sense of excitement as we move into your hopeful future. In your church, we are grateful for those who hear your call and start new things, who form new faithful communities, who sense your leading and take chances of faith to follow where you lead. Strengthen your people through programs in the church that nurture new ways of reaching out and sharing your good news and how your hope takes shape in the world. For all who work for justice and righteousness, we pray. For all who face injustice and oppression, we pray. You promise to be present in our suffering, so we humbly ask you that you will reveal yourself to your servants so that they might have comfort and strength. We are grateful for those who call us to lead more faithful lives. We pray for the people in the church who work for justice, for healing, for reconciliation, and those who help our communities reflect your inclusive grace. Guide us into ways that recognize and realize all people's gifts for ministry and service in the world. We pray for the leaders in the Presbyterian Church in Canada who volunteer their time and give their talents to participate in committees and working groups, taking leadership in webinars and conferences. We pray for the conveners and members of more than 40 committees and working groups under the General Assembly. We are grateful for and pray for the leaders in this congregation. We pray for the lay leaders who give their time and energy to do mission and ministry in your name, our Sunday school teachers, our elders, our choir members, the women of the church. And we pray for the ministers, especially Reverend Adams, as he serves this congregation and helps to bind up the wounded. Lead them to places of good health and protect them from anything that stands in the way of their task. We are grateful for those who bring a cup of water and the bread of salvation to those who need to know your good news in Jesus Christ. We pray for people who serve in prisons in Canada and around the world. Infuse their words with the joy of salvation so that prisoners might know your grace through Jesus Christ, putting off the old life and taking up a new one. For those whose actions hurt themselves and others, who live in pain and woundedness, who suffer in addiction, we pray that they might find freedom and grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful for the teachers in our midst. We pray for the leaders and teachers in the church's colleges and for the boards that govern them. We pray for the theological educators the world over, that they might rightly share your word in ways that bring your truth to your people. We pray for the students who question and wonder and study your word to reveal your mysteries. May your truth triumph over deception in humility and power. We pray for those who are deceived by the lies of this world, who strive for things other than you, who fall prey to false teachings that lead them away from you, and for those whose ignorance leads to hate and sin. May your truth overcome deceit. Bring order to chaos and bring healing and insight to your people. For those who are grieving, sick, or facing broken relationships, And for those who are suffering or going through difficult times, we pray quietly for them now. Through your church and your Holy Spirit, provide comfort to them, lifting them up and caring for them with grace and mercy. And in one voice, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will now sing hymn 775, Sent Forth with God's Blessing. May you be strengthened in your inner being through the Holy Spirit. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. And may you be rooted and grounded in God's grace, having the power to know the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. Go now with the knowledge of the one who is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Amen.